Thanks for tuning in to this Control Risks podcast. I'm Julia Livick. The 2018 presidential election in Colombia will be the country's most pivotal in decades, occurring on the tails of an historic peace agreement between the outgoing government and the Revolutionary Armed Forces of Colombia, or FARC. Colombians go to the polls this Sunday, June 17th. I'm joined by Sergio Guzman, Control Risks lead analyst for Colombia. Hi, Sergio. Thanks for dialing in from Bogota.
No problem, Julia.
So you've been watching this closely. Could you please tell us about the candidates in the race and what we can expect from Sunday's vote?
Absolutely, Julia. I think the key point in this election is that it's a real dilemma between two really opposing worldviews. On the one hand, you have Iván Duque, who's been on the opposition to President Juan Manuel Santos for the past 4 years, who is for preserving the economic model that the country has, but he is against the peace agreement that was signed in 2016, like you well mentioned. On the other hand, you have Gustavo Petro, who's a left-wing leader of the Decency List. Petro is in favor of maintaining the peace agreement under Santos, but he has proposed pretty significant changes to the economic model, which drive up a scare of many investors and institutions' points of view.
What are companies and investors most concerned about with regard to the election?
Essentially, they want to be reassured that whomever wins will not drastically change how the country's economy is managed. And under no circumstance that's going to happen, regardless of a Duque win or regardless of a Petro win. If Duque wins, he's going to introduce some very pro-business policies, like tax reform, like austerity for the national government, which will reassure institutional bond investors and equity investors as well. He also has a pretty significant portion of Congress now backing him, as many of his contenders who received sizable portions of the vote, they're calling for a blank vote or they're supporting Duque. And so with a very sizable portion of Congress, Duque will very likely be able to move through his economic agenda through the Congress unscathed. On the other hand, Petro's reforms are not going to be as easy to pass for the same reason. If he were to want to reform how the country's economic policy is governed, he's going to have a very hard time doing it through legislative means. So you could maybe see a little bit of control on that end, and Petro won't be as able to implement the aggressive reforms that he has campaigned on.
So Sergio, I know we always advise our clients to plan for the unexpected, and we advise planning for separate scenarios. But I'm going to put you on the spot and have you give us your forecast for Sunday's election.
All right, Julia. Everybody wants to get ahead of the game here. But what we at Control Risk see is that it's much more likely that Duque emerges victorious over Petro for three basic reasons. The first reason is the aversion that is created by Petro himself, which will make voters flock to the other side. Petro has in the past been supportive of former President Hugo Chavez, and until very recently began doubting the ability of President Maduro to have a democracy. That has reverberated negatively amongst Colombian voters. So it's very unlikely that people who are in the center are going to look at the issue of Venezuela and the proximity to Petro and want to vote for him. They might go to the other side. The second reason why we believe that Duque is more likely to win is because the Duque campaign has significantly more funds than the Petro campaign, and they know how to use it. Just to give you an example, the Duque campaign for the first round was able to make 21 billion pesos of investment. They spent 21 billion pesos, which roughly translate to $7 million, and they won 7.5 million votes. The Petro campaign obtained 12 billion pesos, which is essentially $4 billion, and were able to get 4.8 million votes. What that means is that both campaigns essentially are spending a little bit under a dollar per vote. And the fact that Duque has much more money in his war chest implies that he may be able to obtain more votes in the second round. The third reason why we believe that Duque is going to win is because Petro has been unable to efficiently capture the center vote. You see people in the center who have actively campaigned for the blank vote, like former contenders Sergio Fajardo and Humberto de la Calle, who have urged their supporters not to go through either of the options, either Duque or Petro. But in addition, many of the Green Party voters that are being contested by these two campaigns are quite independent-minded. So it's not likely that they'll follow what their leaders say, but it's also not likely that they'll fall prey to the arguments of either side. You also have to take into account, Julia, and I'm really serious, there are three World Cup matches that day. And for Petro to turn out people to vote, he's counting on that demographics between 18 and 35 who are going to be most likely going to be at home until 3 p.m. Watching the three World Cup matches of the day. The polls close at 4, so it's going to be a real challenge for him to get out those people to vote and to vote for him.
Yeah, you know, I hadn't thought about that, and that's definitely going to be a challenge getting people to the polls. We've got the World Cup kicking off today, so we'll see how that fares for the Colombian election on Sunday. Thanks a lot, Sergio, and thank you to our audience for tuning in to this Control Risks podcast. You can hear more insights from our analysts on the ground in Colombia and around Latin America by visiting controlrisks.com/latin-american-elections. Thanks for tuning in.